You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Monday, September 15th, and the political turmoil that's been churning in Israel this summer may be coming to an end this week. The country's ruling party, Kadima, will hold elections on Wednesday to select a new leader in the aftermath of controversy and corruption charges facing Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, along with sharp criticism of his handling of the 2006 war with Hezbollah in Lebanon. The new Kadima leader could become the new prime minister if he or she is successful at building a new coalition government, and it could be a she for the first time in 30 years. Joining us for more is Ethan Bronner, the Jerusalem bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. And Ethan, thanks for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Adora.
So tell us a little bit about the Israeli foreign minister who seems to be leading the polls among the Kadima
voters. Yes, Tzipi Livni is her name. She is a relatively new face in Israeli politics, meaning that she is not a career politician. She was a lawyer, a practicing lawyer for most of her life, and was recruited about 10 years ago to the Likud party, largely by Ariel Sharon, the then prime minister. And, you know, like Sharon and like the current prime minister, Ehud Olmert, Livni sort of followed a rather interesting arc, a political voyage from the right to the center to center left, depending on how you want to define it, so that she has been leading one of the important set of negotiations with the Palestinians for a two-state solution, and she is firmly devoted to the concept of two states for two people, where she was brought up in a family deep within right-wing revisionism, Zionism. Her parents were both fighters, underground fighters on the right of the Zionist underground, that, you know, whose slogan was both sides of the Jordan River, so the sort of greater land of Israel concept. So it's been she's an interesting lady.
And in an interesting party, Kadima, formed by former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, who's been in a coma since 2006, what kind of shape is the party in at the moment?
Well, that's a really good question. It is likely to form the next government. That is either Ms. Livni or her main rival, Shaul Mufaz, who's the transport minister and a former chief of staff and defense minister. One of them will win. She is leading the polls, but
by double digits. I mean, she's actually leading the poll.
Well, some of them are double digits. There's one poll that shows her only 5% ahead. There are only about 60 to 70,000 voters involved. People are unclear about whether there's been some shady practices in voter registration for the party. Really, no one is too sure. It seems likely that she will win, but it's not certain. In any case, the party is, you know, it's unusual in Israel because it's got a kind of neither milk nor meat quality to it, speaking in kosher terms, if you like. It's a sort of middle of the road. Some people have criticized it and them for being more like sort of shopkeepers or people without clear vision. I'm not endorsing that view, but there is a sense that it's a sort of in the middle rather than a great leader in terms of a vision. And this is a society that has existed on fairly strong visions over the years. So it's hard to know what its long-term viability is.
So, exactly, in the context of taking on the Likud party and Benjamin Netanyahu, where does that put Kadima relative to what Israelis in general are thinking?
Well, it seems that if there were a normal general election tomorrow, Kadima would lose to Netanyahu and the Likud. But the plan of both Mufaz and Livni is to, whoever wins will then try to form a coalition government, and there's fairly decent chance that it could, he or she could do so, bringing in some of the smaller parties as well as the Labor Party. So if that happens, there is not a call for a new election until 2010, and then conceivably if there is some kind of an agreement with the Palestinians and or with the Syrians, that's another track that's going on, that might bring along the people to a more centrist position and squeeze out Likud. But, of course, who knows?
Quickly, Ethan, how much of this is a waiting game for the new presidency in the United States, which, you know, depending on McCain or Obama, could be a fairly significant contrast for what happens going forward for Israel?
I don't really know. I mean, I'm a little more skeptical than your question suggests that it would make a very big difference to those negotiations whether Obama or McCain wins. I think that both have shown a great devotion to Israel. I find it hard to believe that Obama would put really serious pressure on Israel to yield in ways that McCain wouldn't. I think the difference between them, and that would have a big impact here, has more to do with how aggressive they might feel toward Iran and its nuclearization. But it seems to me unlikely that in terms of negotiations with the Palestinians, it would make a huge difference. That doesn't mean there isn't a waiting game, because we are in a kind of lame duck situation all around. But I don't know that it's going to make a very big difference whoever wins.
That's a good word, lame duck, both here and there in Israel. Ethan Bronner, many thanks to
you. Flock of lame ducks.
I know, a flock of lame ducks.
Exactly.
Ethan Bronner reports for our partner, the New York Times. He's the Jerusalem bureau chief. And now we're going to turn to Femi Okeh, who's got a few headlines for us. Femi?
Thank you very much. Just coming up to 21 minutes to the top of the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.